Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to episode 324 of See You Next Wednesday, a podcast about pop culture and film where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on January 24th, 2019, and my name is Dan Gorman. Shut up, Brad. Your song stunk, I hate your suit, and I could hurt you.
My name is Casey Lyons, and... you know, football with a face on it. If I didn't have you to talk to, I think I'd go crazy.
My name is Greg LeGros, and I'm not banging my sister.
We have lots of stuff to talk about. A Christmas movie at the end of January?
What?
I believe it was Winner's Choice.
It was.
Yes. Yeah. Plus a punishment album in Film Roulette.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Before any of that, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC to see the new episodes when they drop, especially Facebook. They push to Twitter as well, but yeah, follow the Facebook and you'll see all the episodes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whenever we goddamn feel like it.
See You Next Wednesday finds a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, you guys. Can you
2019.
Believe?
Wow. Is that the official?
Yeah, that's the official.
Thanks, Prince. Yeah.
Do you feel like it's nice that in like a year, we'll be back into a decade that we can all agree upon what to call it?
Yeah.
Are you having a problem with the...
What do you call this decade? What is this? What
the
are we
aughts?
Oh, the decade. I thought you meant like what we call the years.
No. I'm familiar with numbers.
Yeah. Well, that was my issue. I was like,
no.
It really is only four numbers.
Yeah, I know. It'll be the 20s. Yeah. Maybe it'll be the 2020s. But either way, it'll be something that we can all just settle on and like, that's it.
Yeah.
Because no one calls this the teens or anything else.
Yeah.
Some people call it the aughts.
Yeah,
the aughts
was 2000 to 2010. Oh, right. But a lot of people also don't know what that means. So they didn't call it that. They just called it the 2000s. And a lot of people call this decade the 2010s, which is fucking donkey shit.
I just now realized you were supposed to call a decade something.
We haven't done that since the fucking 90s.
Let's come up with a better one. What if we called it Tennies?
The Tennies.
Those are bad awards.
Yeah. I was born in the Tennies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You a Tenny child?
Only Tenny childs will,
will remember that. Only Tennies will understand this. Weird trick to lose belly fat.
I think it'll help with our reference of time, though.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people feel like nothing's much has changed in a long time, but it has. Like, you know, things have happened.
Yeah.
Phones, all kinds of things really advanced, but like we don't, because it wasn't like the 80s, 90s. We really had like a box to put it in.
Anyway, totally.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm tired of being lost in the abyss.
Yeah, man, you're so obsessed with time, man.
It's just a construct.
It's a man-made construct, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Was there news? I feel like there's so much news I don't remember any of it.
I don't know. The Oscars just...
The Oscars just came out.
The Golden Globes happened.
Yeah.
Golden Globes happened, and I didn't care.
I watched them.
And then the Oscars. Were they good?
They were
Who
fine,
Who hosted them?
Andy Samberg.
And Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. And...
That old comedy
It was good
duo.
Stuff. It was actually, they were good together, and Sandberg had a great Black Panther moment that I thought was amazing. And, I don't know, the show was fine. It was kind of speedy. Of stuff that's nominated, I find it weird. I was really still very aggravated that Breaking or Better Call Saul wasn't up for anything.
Yeah, it's dumb.
I just don't understand. But good shows were, and good people yeah. won for some stuff. And but yeah, I'm finding like a lot of the big movies this year sort of underwhelming. And
it's a stupid year for movies. Yeah,
I felt like good. The nominations, outside of a few of the like. Like there were some good ones to see get the nod of like the like in the non like main categories, but the main categories this year when I read like the best picture and a lot of that the top stuff, I was like, yawn.
Yeah,
like it was like Green Room and Bohemian Rhapsody and stuff that I'm like, sure, they're probably entertaining enough, but like, you know, it was cool that like Black Panther's on there, Black Klansman.
Is it?
But
is it cool that Black Panther's on there?
It is a good movie.
It is a good movie. But it's like when they started doing this when there's like 9 movies nominated for Best Picture. It's like yeah. they just want to put the tag on something. Like there was no yeah. it's not gonna win. Like just like there was no way District 9 was gonna win.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just there like the hey, we acknowledge that yeah. this made a lot of money and people like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all so arbitrary.
It's all
yeah.
gotten quite silly.
Yeah.
But the only way that I'll watch the telecast with any bit of excitement is because they're going hostless for the first time yeah. since 89.
Since
please
Rob Lowe.
Bring back Rob Lowe and Snow White.
Yeah, please.
One more time.
Oh, my God. That is so good.
What?
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Go, what are you talking
go
about?
To YouTube and mm-hmm. you will find the opening number from the 1980, was it 9?
I think it's
89. 89 Oscars where that was the last time they didn't have a host. And the opening number is like Rob Lowe and Snow White.
Doing like a song and a dance.
They do this
and
big
it's
song
like a
and
long
it's
time.
Terrible.
It's bad.
And some of the.
Yeah, I feel like you didn't need that qualifier. You just go Rob Lowe and Snow White sing a long song.
Like, it's but it's worse than you
I'll draw my own conclusions.
Yeah, it's worse than you think.
Yeah, there's like backup dancers that are dressed like popcorn, but like it's like it's
very
really
confusing.
Slapdash looking stuff.
I assume they're supposed to be representing the movies or
something.
Yeah,
it's one of those like hooray for the movies
and
numbers, yeah.
Snow White represents, I guess, Snow White. What does Rob Lowe represent?
I guess Hollywood.
Yeah.
Rat Pack.
Yeah.
Like I they guess do it was thing, 1989.
Yeah. They do a thing where, like, it goes up and they're in front of the Chinese theater and they sing about, like, premieres and stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's
bad.
Unbearable. Very, very silly.
It's really bad. Yeah.
And I don't know. Other news, nothing of, like, big. Nothing happened.
Yeah, I feel
forget
like
it.
Yeah,
nothing
cares?
Happened, but I feel like we probably all watched a ton of shit, and a lot of
yes.
it is we can talk about some Oscar stuff. So do you want to just jump into?
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I didn't watch any Oscar stuff.
Okay, I did.
Nice. I watched one or two things nominated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I basically followed up. Emma and I went and saw Spider-Man because the last time we recorded, I hadn't seen it.
Right. I saw it again in theaters.
It's fucking amazing.
Boy, is that good.
What a
movie. I don't like it.
That's my favorite movie of the year.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. That's my favorite movie.
Second, I just thought, like, it's rare I see something twice in the theater, but when again.
I was disappointed. I wasn't, like, we saw it in 2D and I was like, this is gorgeous, but then I was like, I kind of want to see it in 3D now, too.
I just saw it in 2D both times because I took Zoe both times, but I don't know.
I feel like it would look cool.
I've heard, like, people say it's the only movie you really should see in 3D.
I guess
it seems
like
it would be cool to see all the, like, comic book stuff, like, in the depth of how they're using it.
Well,
cool.
Apparently they use the 3D really well, like, for once. And
neat. Yeah. Pretty good.
Oh, I did see two others that were nominated.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
But I'll let you do one.
Okay.
What did
you watch? Well, I'll kind of... something that we talked about an episode or two ago. I saw Bohemian Rhapsody, which you really enjoyed, Casey.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But as I thought about it, for what it made me do is like I listened to a ton of Queen right after.
That's the thing. I don't know if I love the movie as much as I love being reminded of how much I love Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, because they nailed the live stuff. The live stuff was remarkable, and the...
Rami Malek's fucking phenomenal.
He killed that shit. And the Wembley, you know, the Live Aid finale, it's so great. And so, like, I watched the Live Aid thing, and, like, they got it fucking pretty pitch perfect.
Yeah.
The other night, I watched Queen at Wembley in 86. Their big follow-up to that, which is, god damn it, what a spectacle that show is. Yeah. Fucking crazy. But like the
that's
show,
where
the
he's
movie,
dressed like a king
the movie declined
nonsense.
In my mind over a couple of days. Like,
it doesn't really hold up.
No, it doesn't. Like, it's got this sort of like cut and paste. Like, I don't give a shit direction. and the, you know, a lot of the let's fuck around with time stuff and how they became a band, all that stuff that they mucked about with. I'm like, I don't like that. I know that no one does. I'm not, not everyone knows, but I don't like how this was. I know you're not right here.
You didn't like how in one day he got a new boyfriend, reconciled with his parents, and played Wembley Stadium at the same time? You didn't like that?
No. And also got diagnosed with AIDS 2 years before he actually did?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
And the band didn't react the way that they actually did? Me too. Anyway, and yeah, and you know what really bugged me? This was the thing that I couldn't shake for a little while in the middle of the movie. When they get to the point where they write, "We will rock you," they've already transitioned Freddie to 80s Freddie with the mustache and the short hair. And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. That song's from 1977. Yeah. He still had the fucking bowl cut then. And the exposed teeth and the crazy star glasses in the video. It's a famous video.
Yeah.
Like, duh.
Yeah.
Is it so hard to not? Anyway, I don't. It doesn't matter. Malick's performance, although very good, there's something about it that started to bother me the more I kind of thought back to it. And it was kind of sitting with me while I was watching it. And he, just the dialogue stuff, and I don't know if it's him or the direction or what, but he, like, Freddie was played just like as like this like an alien exploring Earth for the first time. Like, everything was kind of really slow and dreamy, like, and like, I've seen lots of interviews with Freddie Mercury, and like, he was a really sharp, focused guy, and like, there was something a little too performancey in a lot of scenes for me that kind of bothered me, where he was like, I don't know, he was just. It felt like so much like a character. I lost the human being in there, and it's not like Freddie was a fucking weirdo who couldn't act like a person and talk to people, you know? Like, yeah.
I think it was one of those performances where, I think he carried the pageantry of who Freddie was on stage into the performance, like into his kind of general life kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like he played that pageantry throughout. And I think maybe to make it an interesting movie, he had to do that.
Maybe.
Anyway. Because again, it's the direction is pedestrian.
Yeah.
It's not a well-written movie.
No.
It is completely by the numbers. Yeah. In terms
Queen,
of
the
like
band who never did anything wrong.
Yeah, yeah, like literally. You know, it's a movie where Mike Myers shows up and winks at the fucking camera. Although I will say, I thought Mike Myers' performance was really good.
Yeah.
Like, except for that. But I think it was really mostly Rami Malek, and I loved what he did with the performance. I really, really did.
Yeah. I guess I was getting picky with the stuff. And anyway,
well, we would also be remiss.
I just because he might win Best Actor for it. And so I was kind of really
well,
thought
he
about
did
the
at
performance.
The Golden Globes,
yeah.
Right?
So I'm a little like, is it that? Anyway.
Yeah. And I also feel like today, we also have to super quickly mention that Bryan Singer's a fucking piece of garbage.
Oh, yeah.
He should never direct a movie again,
guys,
I feel like.
To be fair, we knew Bryan Singer was a piece of shit long before this. Now we're just getting the broad scope of what a piece of shit is.
Right, right.
Because even before this movie became like a
there's
Oscar
already been
contender and
more
shit
than
like
one,
that.
Like
everybody
articles.
Everybody knew he was a fucking rapist.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like a whole movie about called An Open Secret. Like basically after the Weinstein stuff, it was like, oh yeah, also Bryan Singer.
Everybody.
And then now we're getting like a second rollout. And I feel like he's getting slack. Like he's going to make Red Sonja and shit. Like go away forever.
No. Things are about to stop for him.
Yeah.
I feel like they pushed back on this story for as long as they could to make money off of Bohemian Rhapsody. And now that that's out there and they made the money, cut him loose. Yeah. Your time's up.
Yeah.
Like
goodbye.
Kelly.
Yeah.
You know, the silliest thing about the R. Kelly thing is that his label dropped him. What a non-risk thing to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cutting loose your thing.
Oh, now that everybody else
who's
knows.
Not making any
our
more.
Our non-profitable piece of shit. Yeah. We cut him loose. Yeah. We are very good people.
Yeah, we did it because of the, I guess, things that he did.
Yeah, not because everyone hates him now.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Yeah. So I quickly will say that I mentioned that I got to Black Klansman, and that's a great movie.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
I don't have a lot
to say about it.
I will hop back but with Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like it sucks.
Yeah,
it's a fun watch.
It's a really fun watch.
If you don't know a lot about Queen, then particularly great, and like how big the Live Aid thing was, they are almost underselling it because it was That's all anyone talked about with Live Aid. Well, they talked about that in U2.
Yeah.
Those are the two big things that
happened. Dan and I?
Yeah, you too.
Hey, you too.
I think it is resonating with such a broad audience because of that reason. Like, I know somebody who saw it and was like, I didn't know they did, like, every time they played a song, I was like, they did that one too?
Yeah.
And it, I think that's maybe contributing. Not that people are stupid or something, but, like, I think people are going to see it and they get that broad strokes and are like, wow!
But Queen, yeah, like, Queen wasn't really on Myos's radar. She loved the movie, and now she's obsessed with Queen.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because she was just like, I didn't really know this whole part of music, and mm-hmm. like, it really affected her. Like, it really kind of got to her in a big way.
Great.
And again, I think that I got a bit of that runoff as well.
Oh, like, sure.
And that was really fun to see.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, the live stuff is nailed. And it's great that they use all the actual audio from Live Aid.
Yeah.
Which really helps.
They would have to.
Yeah. It's not fucking around here.
Have you guys seen any footage of Mark Martel?
No.
No.
He did some of the vocalization for Freddy for the movie.
Yeah.
Go check out some YouTube videos of him. He does a hell of a job sounding like Freddie Mercury.
Cool.
Nice.
So, yeah.
You used to have Black Klansman.
I did.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I liked it quite a bit. It was good.
Yeah, it's a very good movie.
It was really good. I didn't, like, over the moon love it, but it was really entertaining and hard-hitting when it needed to be.
Yeah,
and it
lands hard on you at the end, like, where you go, no.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrific. I loved the performances.
Yeah, the performances were really great. Good. Yeah.
And the most spirited direction from Spike Lee in quite some time.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely good.
Yeah.
What else?
I saw basically two of my favorite superhero movies of all time happened this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm.
And Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Nice.
Have you seen this?
No,
but I've just heard it on the show.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I heard it's really good.
It's so good. Like, and it's like a good story and everything, but it's also like that show is just a dumb show that doesn't take itself seriously and knows that it's a show. Well, it's actually not a dumb show. It actually makes some really great references.
Yeah, Zoe just started watching it like a week ago.
Out
of nowhere, she was like, this is all I watch now.
Yeah. you'll be so glad because it's always great.
They seem to get real fired up about waffles and hot dogs and tacos. So.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah, and the movie is just a fucking A-plus version of that.
Great.
It's so good. It's so funny. It's so funny.
Nice. Yeah, I'll watch it. Mm-hmm. I'm always up for a good cartoon.
Yeah. Do that shit.
Nice. What else, Greg?
It's a Green Book.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I haven't seen that yet either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do plan to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll watch
Even
it.
Though, I mean, because I really like Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
I like him a great deal.
Mahershala. Yeah.
That sounds right.
Right.
Yeah.
And Viggo Mortensen's fine.
Yeah.
But it's a Peter Farrelly movie.
Well,
what are we doing?
Well, I tell you what, we're in a world where Peter Farrelly made a very good drama.
Huh?
Yeah.
And it works because the movie is funny. And it's a road movie. And whether you like...
I love a road movie.
And he has made quite a few of them.
Yeah.
This guy knows how to make a road movie.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber's a road movie.
Kingpin's
a road movie. He's got the thing down and it really works. He clearly knows how to work the formula well. And the movie has a great beginning, middle, and end. You can feel like it feels like a movie properly. Like a lot of them don't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mahershala Ali is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Viggo Mortensen is unbelievably entertaining in this movie. He's just great. And it's very good. It's not amazing, but it's really worth a watch. And it's not another white savior movie. It's a true story, just about these two guys. This story happened, and it's just neither one of them. No one saves anyone. It's not about that. It's just two people.
Yeah. No, connecting. Hidden Figures moment where he's like, "I'll smash this sign down."
Right, right. That doesn't go down.
Yeah, don't worry.
Any kind of like standing up for anyone stuff that happens is like job related, and it works well. It's a really good movie, like a super good movie. I quite enjoyed it. Some things are convenient, but overall, it's Yeah, a solid picture. Like, as far as big movies that are up for... I liked it better than The Star Is Born, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's more well-directed than Bohemian Rhapsody.
Nice.
So, even though it doesn't have a big concert.
Do you think that's going to be, the winner?
No.
No?
I don't.
Hmm. What do you guys think will be the winner? If you had to wager a guess.
I'm surprised at how much out of nowhere attention The Favorite has gotten. And
yeah.
I didn't realize whose film that was.
Yeah, Yorgos
Lanthimos.
Yeah, I didn't know he had another movie. I was just talking about how great he is the other day. And then I was like, I saw that he was nominated for Best Director. And I was like, what? So he's up for Best Director.
Yeah.
There's two performances nominated.
Yeah.
So I really need to see that. But it's not up for Best Picture, is it?
I think it might be.
So I'm super curious about that. It's too much of a dark horse, though.
Yeah,
it's either going to be A Star Is Born or Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the Yorgos movie...
Or they go Roma, which I have not seen.
I haven't seen it yet either.
Yeah. Which is crazy, because it's literally on my TV.
Yeah, it's right there. It's always
right
in front of me.
I can just walk away from you guys and look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, but who has the time to watch a black and white movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you can watch Venom. More on that later.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah.
On the Oscar talk, I did see one of the nominations for a documentary called Minding the Gap.
Mm-hmm.
And totally deserves to be there and was definitely one of the best documentaries I saw all year. It's about three men who are teenagers. They're skateboarders. They've been filming themselves skateboard like for as long as they've been skateboarding. And it's this story about them growing up and facing responsibilities and fucking up. And it also touches on like masculinity and what it means to be a man and abuse in families and partnerships. There's about a lot of stuff, a lot of really fucking heavy stuff, but it's amazing. And I really, really loved it.
What's it called?
It's called Minding the Gap. It really left an impression on me.
Nice.
And I'm like totally up for that to be there in the Oscars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So check out the skateboarding documentary, Gleaming the Cube.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I saw a movie, guys.
Yeah,
What'd you see?
Oh, let me see. There was this movie that I watched.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I want to say a superhero movie, but almost like an anti-hero
movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Guys, I watched a movie called Venom.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. Dan, have you seen that?
No. I've been meaning to watch it because it seems, when Greg talked about it, it seemed like the right kind of dumb to me.
I got
to
tell you, Dan, this movie fucking sucks. It fucking fails on every level, and I love it a little bit.
Yes, yeah. Right?
That's why I feel like I gotta watch it.
Yeah. It's the cuckoo bananas
it's
movie.
Fucking bananas. It is an absolute misfire in all of the compelling ways. The script, it really feels like it was written by a fucking idiot 12-year-old. It's just cliche after cliche after cliche.
Yeah.
It is the worst. Like, it really is just like every fucking cliche you can think of.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy is god awful in this movie. Because I don't think Tom Hardy should play humans.
Because
I don't think he knows how they go. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's so much of him talking to Venom that's so whack-a-doo.
It's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
And now, who did the voice for Venom? Was it Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood? Because I'm 90% sure it was.
Yeah. That's a heck of a little thing there, that Venom movie.
What a stupid fucking movie.
It made so much money.
Yeah, which is great because it means that the sequel's coming and I'm excited about the sequel.
Yeah. They line it up for like what you gonna do now?
Yeah. As soon as I saw that there was an extra scene, I was like, yeah, yeah, just get it over with. And I was like, yep. But I was like, oh, him?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a fun movie to just sit in front of and go, shut up. It sucks so bad.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it again.
I'll probably see it again.
It's gonna come up on Netflix eventually, and I'm gonna be like,
yeah, okay. Hello. Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah. You've got, in this movie, you got people who eat other people,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, when they're like the Venom guy, and then when they're not the Venom guy, they go, oh, did I just eat a guy? That was weird.
Does he, like, burp and then a bone comes out?
Oh, yeah. God, what a dumb fucking movie.
Amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Venom.
Special.
Can't wait for Venom 2.
I got, really quickly, speaking of fiascos, have to mention I went to a screening at the Royal of a movie from 1987 called Tough Guys Don't Dance, directed by Norman Mailer.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of this movie starring Ryan O'Neill?
Yeah.
And Isabella Rossellini?
Mm-hmm.
This movie is fucked. It is so fucked. It is like one of the, it's being kind of presented as it's one of the, like, so bad it's so good, it's the next Room kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not far off. It is amazing. It is this, like, noir movie about this guy who is getting, like, a murder pinned on him. And it's trying to be, like, super sleazy and trying to be super, like, machismo and shit. And the dialogue in this movie is unfucking believable. You have to see this movie. I have to find a way to get you guys. I don't know if it's readily available. I'll find a copy for you. But this movie is so good.
Is this the movie from which you see that classic clip of Ryan O'Neill?
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, God. No. Oh, yes. No. That's this movie, yeah. Which is funny because they were talking before the movie and they said after they shot that, he was like, you can't use that footage. And Norman Mailer was like, I don't, and we, they were like kind of arguing a lot during the movie. So he was like, fuck you, I'm gonna. Like, just to be a dick to Ryan O'Neill.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is so good. It's so wild. I loved it. I loved watching it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's so entertaining.
Very good.
Tough Guys Don't Dance. 1987.
Very
you
good.
Will not regret it. Totally. Neat. Anything else? What else?
So many things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched Sharp Objects.
Oh.
I saw I think two episodes of that and was like, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah, it's intense.
Yeah.
I watched the whole thing. It is remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Jean-Marc Vallée?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, he does the entire thing, all 8 episodes. Amy Adams is unbelievably good in it. It blew my mind. I was amazed at the direction, the dialogue,
yeah,
the
you gotta
characters,
watch that.
The sound design, everything about it was so compelling and fascinating, and the story is great.
But you didn't care for Big Little Lies.
I didn't dig into it. I saw an episode, wasn't in the mood.
Just didn't hook you.
Yeah.
It's not that you didn't like it.
I always meant to go back to it, but yeah, I wasn't on board right away.
Yeah.
But yeah, perhaps I will be now, you know?
I don't
know.
I want to see this.
But yeah, I could not recommend Sharp Objects more.
Nice.
And yeah, it's dark as fuck. But yeah, Patricia Clarkson is amazing in it. Chris Messina is amazing in it. Every performance is pretty fucking fantastic. It's a hell of a thing.
Nice.
Yeah, and it just stayed with me for days. Really dark.
Is there
really
how many episodes?
8.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a quick one. You fly through it. And this is how to deal with her with Gillian Flynn's subject matter. I wish that they had done this with Gone Girl, because that movie is still a total fucking. If you've read the book, like, half of the story is not being shown. There's a way to do it, but it would have to be episodic and stretched out like this. It's a shame. Anyway, maybe this is a better story too. Yeah, it's a very good story. But yeah, like, get into it. It's really something. Cool. Really something.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sort of in the same vein as Sharp Objects, I saw Bumblebee.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
I'm really coming with the classics tonight.
Yeah.
Wife and I had over the Christmas holiday, daycare was back on, but
yeah.
Myos and I had some time off.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So
we did some nice. Movie seeing for that, too.
Yeah, yeah. So
oh, nice.
Dumped the kids off at daycare, yeah. And we're like, let's go to the mall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We went to 10 o'clock in the morning movies. It was
nice.
So great.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we went and saw Bumblebee. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this?
No, I want to, though.
I gotta tell you guys, mm-hmm. It's fucking great.
Awesome.
It's great.
Yeah.
You know why it's great? Because they, like, literally, there might as well have been somebody standing in front of the camera at all times going, we're fixing everything you hated about Transformers.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, 4 Transformers in it, not 100.
Yeah.
They look like Transformers. Mm-hmm. And it's set in the 80s, and it's an 80s movie. Mm-hmm. It's an 80s buddy movie. It's not an action. I mean, it's an action movie.
Yeah.
But it focuses so much more on being like a
it seemed like it might be like, because it had that, like, the trailers had that kind of like discovery thing where it's like she discovers it and so they form the bond and there's kind of a
this movie wants to be kind of like a E.T. Mm-hmm. or like a just any of those like kind of adorable exactly. like adorable fish out of water,
yeah.
Befriends a tough weirdo kid who's really vulnerable too. So they form a bond, but then the mean government wants to come in
and steal
the guy.
Monster Trucks tried to do this a couple years ago, and
I
had fun with it. It's not great, but it definitely didn't make the relationship matter at all.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah,
right,
yeah, and this really did like it's. It really wins on every level, mm-hmm. except for John Cena. I don't think he's that great.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I had heard that he was good in this.
He was funny in that comedy. What was it? Blockers? He's pretty funny.
I was just about to talk, but I saw Blockers.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
I laughed my ass off. He's really fucking good in it.
Yeah.
He really holds his own with the two of them.
I think he's one of those wrestler guys who's, I think he thinks he's funnier than he is or more charismatic than he is. And he just doesn't work.
You
that
just
well
haven't
me.
Seen The Marine yet.
Yeah.
I've seen the opening sequence of The Marine.
Yeah, that's better than any movie.
I know.
That's really all I need. I was like, nothing's going to be as good as the opening credits.
There is a couple of moments in that movie that are worth the time. But he is really good in Blockers, and I've liked him when he's popped up in a couple of comedies here and there. Mm-hmm. I thought he was really good in Sisters.
I thought he was great in that Amy Schumer movie, because...
Trainwreck.
Yeah, because I think he really swung for the fences to get away from his kind of like crazy wrestler persona.
Yeah, it was like a funny twist on his character.
Which, and Blockers is like that, too. Like, he's not a big tough guy or anything.
Yeah, totally.
Bumblebee is a total win.
Cool. Nice.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Can't wait.
I'm going to watch it for sure.
Yeah.
What about you, Greg? What else?
Is there something else? I mean, there must have been something else. Oh, yeah. I saw Beale Street Could Talk.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's a terrific movie.
I hear that's so good.
Really good movie. Where that's not nominated for Best Picture. That's just silly.
I feel like there's a lot of things missing.
Yeah.
That's not nominated. Where the fuck is Paddington 2? Paddington 2
man,
is
fuck.
Fucking... that should be up for Best Picture, in my opinion. Holy shit.
It absolutely should. I don't want to get on the whole fucking arbitrary nature of the stupid Oscars, but Paddington 2 is one of the best movies of all time.
But if Beale Street Could Talk.
Yeah, it's top to bottom, fantastic movie. Great score, great performances, great story, important.
Yeah.
And it's different than Moonlight. Although I think Casey and you and I are talking about this a little bit, but it does play with time a bit, but in a different way, and you don't notice that it's really happening. It's just integral to the storytelling. So it's not like a gimmick for the director.
Yeah.
There's just fine work going on.
Yeah.
A really expert artistic eye. Telling very good stories. It's a heck of a movie. And it was great on the big screen, too. Beautiful cinematography. It's a shame that they didn't get attention this year.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That sucks.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
Was it like, what? I feel like there was so much buzz coming out of it, out of like film festivals and stuff. Did it just not like hit with, like, was it not released wide enough, or was it too challenging? It seems
not a wide enough release or enough press. Because on like the day before we went to see it, or the day of, I didn't really even know quite what it was.
Because like Moonlight was so big, you know? Like that was like huge going into the award season.
Yes.
So you feel like the follow-up to such a like notable awards movie would get much more coverage coming into this. Yeah, yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. Silly bands.
Yeah. Mm. I'm going to rattle off just a couple movies from last year that I really liked that are deserving of people's time. I mentioned Minding the Gap, which was the skateboarding documentary. Mm-hmm. But there's a movie called Skate Kitchen, directed by Crystal Moselle, which is also about skateboarding. It's not a documentary, though. Mm-hmm. Though it is partially based on the real lives of the people that are in it. So some people have called it like a docudrama. But it's basically about this girl who falls in with these skateboarding girls in New York City. And they kind of have this little, like, not gang, but just sort of this friendship going around the streets and the people that they run into, and they get into some altercations and relationships, and it's very, 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 very good. I loved it. So Skate Kitchen is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I also really liked The Miseducation of Cameron Post, directed by Desiree Akhvan, which is the Chloe Grace Moretz movie where she goes to conversion therapy.
Oh.
And it is so good. They did that Boy Erased movie as well, which is based on a true story, so not to pit the two movies against each other, but like I loved Miseducation of Cameron Post, and Boy Erased was not very good.
Right.
Yeah. So those are really good. You should check those out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just watched last night that documentary on the Fire Festival.
Oh, yeah? The Netflix one?
Yeah.
I watched Netflix and Hulu's documentary.
Yeah,
I haven't watched
the Hulu one yet. Yeah. I'm going to, though.
Don't tell me anything. I'm dying. Fucking dying to see this.
You should watch this because it is fucking bananas.
Yeah.
I heard about this when it happened. I was like, well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, who hitches their wagon to Ja Rule? That's nuts. But yeah, it's bonkers. That whole thing is like, it's like if an Instagram account about festivals became a person and then developed a cocaine habit.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's wild.
It's insane. Yeah.
And both movies are better and worse than the other in certain regards. The Netflix one is better at spinning the yarn and being entertaining and outrageous.
Yeah.
And it also gives slightly more time at the end of the movie to what I think is actually like the real story, and the real outrage should be the people of the Bahamas that were like made to work and basically not paid. And the one woman is like, I had to put $50,000 of my own money up to like pay the people that did all this work, and now I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Like, they fucked the locals over so bad. And they give them a little bit in the Netflix one, but almost not at all in the Hulu one. Mm. But the Hulu one's better at being like, Billy is a fucking, like, the Hulu one lets nobody off any hook. And the Netflix one is a little bit lighter on them. Although it's not that light. They're still like,
No.
But the Fuck Jerry guys that were like involved in the promotion get their little thing in the Netflix one where it's like, well, how could we know?
Yeah.
Or whatever. And it's like, fuck you. You were involved with it the whole way through. But they're both really entertaining and wild.
No, I'm definitely watching the other one because I was just blown away by
The other one has Billy in it.
Yeah,
and
right.
So the other one, you get a lot of really great Squirm moments where they're asking him questions and you see the gears turning.
Right.
Like, what lie can I say right now? Or how can I not answer this?
Yeah.
You know? Or
yeah.
it's yeah.
Yeah.
They're both definitely really worth watching. Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah. You got to see it. You got it.
Beauty.
I did watch a documentary series on Netflix that I don't want to talk too much about, but did either of you see An Innocent Man?
No.
It is. Yes, I did.
Is it Michael Crichton? No. Who's the other guy?
Oh, no, I didn't see that, but Emma watched it.
Pelican Grief? It's a movie about that sad
pelican. Not Tom Clancy. Grisham. John Grisham.
Yeah. The Grishman.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's really fascinating because it's about these two kind of really horrific crimes, but it's really more about police coercion, mm-hmm. and how you can pretty much just fabricate a confession out of a dumb person, and it's really sad in that regard.
Yeah, the innocent man.
Yeah, the innocent man. Did
it is
you guys,
John Grisham.
Did you guys watch Bird Box?
Oh,
I did.
I did watch Bird Box.
Yeah. What'd you guys think of Bird Box?
It's not very good.
It's... That is true. But... It's better than The Happening.
That's true.
That's true, too.
I didn't mind Bird Box. There were things in it I thought worked. It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I thought the pace actually really worked.
There's moments of suspense that really
plenty
worked.
Plenty of good acting.
Mm-hmm. And, I thought some of the acting was garbage.
Well, like,
some of the acting was garbage.
Yeah, I was surprised that the guy from Moonlight was so bad.
I thought he was fine.
I didn't think he was fine. I
had a lot of fun with Malkovich in it.
Oh, Malkovich was good.
Malkovich was
Sandy
great.
Sandy B always holds it down. She
I thought she
good.
Was fine. Yeah.
She's great.
I thought she was
It was
good.
One of those movies where I was just like, stop opening the doors then.
Yeah.
Like, every time somebody's like, hey, I'm on the other side of this door, they're like, let them in!
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck off. Yeah,
yeah. Well, listen, see, I thought that
people
they
are
kept,
idiots.
Yeah.
I thought they kept coming up with good reasons for
yeah,
people to
fair.
Come in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought Tom Holland was great for the little tiny part that he had.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed him. I thought he was great in Bohemian Rhapsody, and it was fun to see him do another thing in this.
Yeah.
The other Tom Holland.
Yeah, I definitely thought there was suspenseful scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
I thought the end was just a fucking huge dump.
Yeah, I hated the ending.
I read a...
Do you think we should let these birds go? Let the little birdies go. You can go make the little bird friends.
I also didn't like that... and this isn't necessarily wrong with the movie because I don't think it necessarily doesn't make sense within the logic of the movie, but it rubbed me the wrong way, which is that I felt like it was one of those movies where it like establishes the rules of the universe. And then at a certain point, they're like, actually, also people get the things in their eyes and then they can walk around and murder you.
Yeah.
And like, sure, that movie can introduce that and it didn't lie to you before. But I just kind of felt like, oh, I guess we're over here doing this now.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of elements that I was like, this would have been cool in the book, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did after I watched, because while I was watching it, most of the time I spent watching it going, trying not to think about A Quiet Place.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, what are we doing now? Now we can't see movie.
Yeah.
We can't talk. What's the, you know, the... next movie we can't smell. Don't smell them.
Don't smell the monster.
There is a movie about
stinks.
A murderer where the guy the thing smells really bad.
Yeah.
And you like smell it before you die. 100%. I've seen that movie. It's not very good.
But
what? I refuse to believe that.
Anyway, I was happy to see that it was based on a book from years before. It's not just a copycat thing. The script has been sitting around for a while.
Totally.
And
yeah.
Then I came across this really interesting article that I quite liked. And if you've seen the movie, good. It'll make you think about something else with the movie. And if you haven't seen it, think about it while you're watching the movie. It's a great little opinion piece on it. And the heading of the article is, Netflix's Bird Box is really about how white people don't want to see racism.
Yeah.
except for the white people who want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are the, so, and there was, I was like, that's interesting. Then I read the article and it was like, here's this, here's this, here's yeah. this, here's this. And I was like,
interesting.
Oh shit, that's yeah. fucking crazy.
Right.
So it really upped the movie in my
yeah,
mind.
I should,
I was
I'll
like,
read
well,
that.
That's a very interesting metaphor to have in there. And
I'll totally read that.
You know, anyway, it's cool. I'll forward it to you
I
guys.
Like
yeah. I'll
I...
post it in our Facebook and I'll throw it in the Slack.
Awesome.
But it's a good read.
Yeah.
And it, it opens up the movie to a little bit more thought, I thought.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll read
not?
That.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
Why
come
not?
On, you'll
why
like
not? Bird box.
Yeah.
Bird
box.
There were birds in that box.
What?
Like, there were things like that. Like, the bird box felt very incidental. Like, it felt like,
yeah.
oh, also, we got some birds in this box.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they kind of were like, oh, if the birds go nuts, then the things are around.
Yeah.
They didn't really use that to any great effect or anything.
No, and I didn't really, like, come in super handy at any point.
No, mm-hmm. no. And also, like, it was like, oh, you're a boy and girl or whatever. It just felt like she didn't have time to give them names. But, yeah, whatever. Bird box, get into it.
Yeah.
Get into it.
Snap into a bird box.
Slam it.
Oh, yeah. man.
Oh,
God. So
wow.
I just one thing real, real quick.
Yeah,
I watched 20 minutes of something. Did you guys see the show You?
Oh, no, you know what? I was going to watch it. I was talking about it with our good friend Bruce,
uh-huh.
and he was saying that he watched it with his partner, and she liked it, and he wasn't super big on it. But
uh-huh.
we were talking about how the concept, we were like all in on this like 90s thriller looking concept.
Yeah. Likely the reason he didn't like it is because it's fucking garbage.
Okay.
It's like... Uh-huh. What if Riverdale had jerking off it?
Go on.
I'm in.
It is
Riverdale didn't have jerking off in it.
It just had me jerking off about
do it.
it is the clumsiest. It's got voiceover of the main guy, and the main guy is basically just telling you what's happening. Like,
telling you.
It is the
oh,
that's where they got the title. He goes, hey, you, I'm a real crazy nut. I'm going to jerk off in these bushes. I like this broad. It is the fucking...
Now I want to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is just the like it feels like it was written by like a I always say everything is written by a precocious ninth grader,
yeah.
but this really does feel like that. anyway, yeah, what a fucking load.
Yeah,
right into the bushes.
I kind of yeah. I was kind of like interested to watch it.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah. But I feel like a series is so much more of a commitment.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if that was I said this to Bruce as soon as it, the trailer came out and we were texting each other. I was like, if it was a 90-minute movie, oh, I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But now, like, I gotta fucking watch a whole series just to get some dumb... I'll just go watch Pacific Heights or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah, you might as well.
Sure.
I think I brought it up briefly on the show before, but go watch the trailer for Greta. It's the new Neil Jordan movie starring Chloe Grace Moretz. I think I mentioned it briefly on the podcast like a long time ago, but the trailer is like the first half of the trailer. It's like, oh, this woman's on a train and she finds a purse and she finds like an ID in there and takes it back to the house because they left their purse on the train. And it's this old woman who doesn't have any friends, and they have this like relationship. And like the whole first half of the trailer is like that trailer for Red Eye, where you're like, it's a romantic comedy, and it pulls the rug on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you realize halfway through this trailer that Chloe Grace Moretz is in Greta, the old lady's house, and they've already formed a relationship. And she opens up like a cupboard, and it's full of bags, and all the bags have her address in it, so she's like getting people to bring the bag back by leaving it places so that she could then terrorize them. And I was like, 100% I'm in on this.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Scary crazy lady.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's what I wanted you to be, like one of those kind of movies. But yeah, Greta.
No,
Neil
it's
Jordan
a piece of crap, but that sounds great.
Yeah, the trailer, I'm in for the trailer. Isabel Huppert is the crazy lady.
All right.
So film roulette then.
Why not?
Why not? Yes.
Oh, wait, can I tell you something funny first?
Yes.
Something real fast.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to forget. I'll forget. I was a little, like a week, couple weeks ago, I was at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Just buying groceries. And
sure.
Standing in the cereal aisle, and it's like an afternoon. The store is fairly dead. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And the music in the store at the moment was Do You Believe in Love by Huey Lewis and the News.
Yeah, nice.
Sweet jam. Mm-hmm. And as I'm standing there looking at cereal, one of the employees of the store, like a bag boy guy, not a bag, he's not a boy, he's a bag man. He's an adult. Anyway.
He's a bag adult.
He's kind of walking past the aisle I'm in right when this happens, and it's just about to hit the chorus of Do You Believe in Love, and he goes for it with the song really loud, not in a good way, like a big loud, like, Do you believe? Like, really loud. And, like, literally 5 feet away from him behind this other counter is, like, the floor manager. The guy has no idea the floor manager is standing there, because the floor manager goes, Brian!
Again?
And the guy, he's like, don't do that! And the guy walks off, and the store manager doesn't know that I'm like 5 feet behind him. And then he sees the guy walks away, and he goes, fuck!
He's been dealing with this. It's happened so many times. Brian.
And then someone else comes over, and he's like, what's the matter with that guy? He's the greatest.
Oh, I love Brian.
I love Brian. Keep living your best life, Brian.
Brian, if you're listening, God bless you. Don't ever stop belting out Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah.
In cereal aisle.
Yeah.
Damn. Again. He's going on his performance review, I'm telling you that.
Yeah. Yeah, he has the power to stop it. If he really wants to.
Yeah. Anyway,
he's just such a good bag adult.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't let him
go. You should have seen Brian's face. He was like,
did I do it again?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now let's get into film roulette. Roulette is the segment where the three of us roll the die, and the two high rollers get to go see something good. This week it was Winner's Choice. The low roller has to see a punishment film. This time it was Santa Jaws. The low roller also gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week, or maybe an entire month. We'll talk about that album. We'll talk about the movies, and then we'll roll for next week. Winner's Choice. Was it you guys? Winner's Choice?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I was the loser. Yeah. So what did you guys do for Winner's Choice?
I watched Santa Jaws.
Okay. Are we just going to only talk about Santa Jaws?
No, well, I watched fucking Aquaman.
Okay.
Oh.
Nice.
But we said on the last episode we were all going to watch Santa Jaws.
Yeah, but I think we were like, we'll all watch Santa Jaws, and then you guys got Winner's Choice. You can do whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I saw
Aquaman. You saw Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Rewind in time if you want to hear about that.
Oh, I'll talk more about it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have a lot to say about Aquaman, so I'll just tell you quick about it. Listen, it's pretty good.
I'm
excited to see it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's super dumb, but I didn't care, because you know what's super dumb? Aquaman.
Yeah.
You know what this movie knows? That Aquaman is super dumb. Like, it does, it just is like, it leans in hard. It doesn't try and, like, you know, spiff him up, or, like, let's pretend he doesn't do these kind of things. They do all of it. Like, the dumbest thing I can think of, or, like, the thing that's in my mind when I picture Aquaman and how stupid he is that from the 80s cartoon when he's riding the giant seahorse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He rides a giant seahorse in this movie.
Nice.
And I was thank you so much. You guys are beautiful. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
It's fun. It moves. It's got a great pace. Momoa's great. You got Willem Dafoe in there being fucking awesome. Patrick Wilson's your bad guy. Fucking sweet.
Hey, all
right. Right?
And I hear the direction's pretty great.
The direction's wonderful. Yeah. It's super awesome.
James Wan, that guy's good.
Fucking A, man. And
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman's terrific in it.
I didn't know she was in it.
Yeah.
I got to do a double feature when that comes out of Aquaman and Venom.
It's a good time. Yeah, it's much better than Venom.
Yeah.
but it's still super silly and stupid. Yeah. But like, just but you know what's weird? Friend of the show, Mark Riley, was warned me beforehand. He's like, the music's really random in this movie, and I was like, sure, fair enough, but it's like weird. There's some pitch changes, like where like so the music's going. You're like, well, like, what are we listening to here? Why is this playing now? Like, a lot of odd song choices, and then there's a weird moment in the middle of the movie where it turns into an entirely different, like, terrible rom com for a little while, and the music, like the score, gets all like a donkey dinker. Well, they're like oopsies, and like having a little cute meet, even though they've known each other for a while.
Yeah.
It's really strange. It's right in the middle of the movie. They go on a little like cutesy adventure together, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
I'll
here?
Have what she's having.
Is that your final answer?
Anyway, it's a good time. Aquaman, I never in my fucking wildest dreams would have been like, A, I want to see it, and B, have a great time.
Yeah.
But I did.
I feel like we got the best of both worlds because we got to be bewildered and have a lot of fun being like, what? This? They're doing this? And then now it's like also pretty good. And we're like, awesome.
Good enough.
I have a DC question. Do you think, where's Direct Martian current. Manhunter?
Huh? Martian Manhunter?
Martian Manhunter.
Yeah,
when are we going to do Martian Manhunter?
If they were smart, they should lean into their weird characters, because they've got them.
Yeah.
If Marvel's making Guardians of the Galaxy fucking work, Martian Manhunter is fucking cool.
Yeah, Martian Manhunter is dope.
Yeah, you can get a great design, you can get a cool performance out of somebody.
Yeah.
Let's get Alpha Flight.
That's a great question.
While we're at
fucking
it.
Fucking Alpha. Goddamn right.
Yeah. There is a good podcast out there about Alpha Flight. By Doug Tilley. You should check it out.
Yeah. Have you been listening to it?
I started, but I don't know enough. I'm going to keep listening, but I listened to like the first episode.
Yeah, read a couple of Alpha Flight.
Yeah, I would like to. Canadian superheroes.
Yeah, check out the era where John Byrne is the artist.
Okay.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love the idea of Alpha Flight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great.
Make that movie.
Listen, Vindicator, also known as Guardian, with the guy with the cannon.
Yeah.
That's a cool suit, dude.
That's sweet. Nice.
Yeah.
So Aquaman, get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Jaws. Get into it. Directed by Misty Talley. Trying to survive the family Christmas, Cody makes a wish to be alone, which ends up backfiring when a shark manifests and kills his entire family. Santa Jaws, 86 minutes. It's a sci-fi original. It stars a bunch of people you maybe have seen on TV. Minutes.
Have you?
Maybe, like, nobody's, but... Yeah. They all have pictures on IMDb, so they gotta be in something.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, when I started watching this, I was like, not immediately like, oh God. I was like, maybe this will actually be kind of fun. Like the jokes and the humor of it were terrible, but there was something to the tone of like the first 10 or 15 minutes where I was like, maybe this won't be as painful as these movies usually are.
Well, you know what was weird is I found it felt like like a Lifetime whoopsie romance.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you know? Felt like a Lifetime movie. This movie knew what it wanted to be.
Yeah. And I think I was like latching onto that being like, okay, maybe you are trying to do something.
They were definitely trying to do something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
if what they were trying to do was to get me to bail on this movie, they did it. I only saw about 20 minutes and I bailed on this motherfucker. I'm out. I can't do it.
I saw the whole thing.
I saw the whole thing, but it was like...
I was like, they'll watch
2 days after we recorded the last episode, and I remember almost nothing.
There's nothing about this movie other than the main character, the kid that we follow throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, he works at like a comic book
I think he just goes there.
Anyway,
this kid's a fucking asshole. This kid is an asshole.
Good.
The entire time. There's nothing likable about the kid. He's a real piece of shit to everybody around him all the time throughout the entire movie and doesn't change. It's really stupid. It's really compelling in some ways, in a like how did this get made kind of a way. They spent a little bit of money on probably a pre-recorded score.
Yeah,
because this movie at times is like we're making an Amblin movie.
Yeah, it's trying to lean into that for sure.
Because you know we got kids on bikes and with kids on bikes we got a real orchestra score
Like
it's all kind of like fluttery strings and stuff. Like it really really attempts to do an Amblin.
Yeah, they really want that vibe and they push for that with like the way the shark is introduced through like a magical thing and with like the family and they're all, and he's kind of like the way that he's kind of upset with his family and they're trying to lean in a little bit to the, like the Home Alone thing and just like that idea of like the kid who wishes his family away and then like this happens with the magic and the shark. Yeah. The way they set it up, they're trying to do that.
It's also fascinating in that there's not one swear in this entire movie, not one swear word in the entire movie.
I feel like that's just because it's a sci-fi. I mean, can you swear on sci-fi? I don't know.
You should at least be able to say damn or hell or bitch damn or bitch hell.
At least.
But
I mean, you can show the violence, so I don't know why you wouldn't be able to show
that.
That's
the thing. Like, there's not one swear word, but then people get eaten by the shark.
Yeah.
You see a guy's legs fall off.
Yeah.
They fall off, or does the shark do it?
Yeah, he was just walking down the street.
Whoa!
My legs!
A shark pushes a boat into his legs, and his legs come off. And then he's walking around on his stumpy legs, and I'm like, I don't think you would do that. I thought that would hurt a little. What a fascinatingly bad movie this is.
Yeah.
And then, I know you didn't see the end, and I don't want to spoil it for everyone, but guess fucking what?
What?
It was all a dream.
Oh, my God.
Fuck this movie for that.
Yeah, just in case you didn't think that this wasn't a big waste of time at first, then you can realize that at the end of the movie, it was all a dream.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Jaws. What a letdown.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's everything. It's really swinging for the fence. Like, we're going to be a campy movie that people love to hate.
Yeah.
We're going to be a silly, fun movie. But there's going to be some real chills and spills.
Yeah.
And, oh, God. I couldn't hate that main kid more.
Yeah.
What a little fucking jerk.
Nice. So, Santa Jaws, it's too late to watch it for Christmas, so don't watch it next year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or ever.
Yeah. Okay, so last episode, which was like a month ago, I pulled a little trick that you guys found out immediately, but what I was trying to do here was give you guys an album and just see what your reaction to it is. And that album was by Birthmark. It's called Antibodies. It came out in 2012. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't tell them was that it is a solo project of one Nate Kinsella, who is the cousin, I believe, of the Kinsella brothers, who are, one of them is involved with Joan of Arc. That's one of their projects. They were both involved in one of the seminal kind of bands, Cap and Jazz. And they were also part of a band called Owls. There's a whole scene basically around these guys.
Yeah.
And you guys hate Joan of Arc so much, it's fun for me to give you those. Mm-hmm. So I was giving you this because I wanted to see what your reaction would be sight unseen to this record.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had told you nothing of the genre, nothing of what it would sound like, and just wanted to let it ride.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now you had a long time to listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then forget about it or whatever.
I listened to it while I was driving today.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't mind this.
I actually kind of liked some of it.
So
I actually kind of liked some of it a lot.
Because one of the reasons I gave you guys this is because it was one of my favorite albums of 2012. And I just wanted to be like, what is it? Let's see what they think.
All
of the talent of this bloodline is with this fellow.
Yeah. And he does some really compelling stuff on this album.
Yeah. Because it's fairly simple. When it started, I was like, okay, well, I get what he's doing.
Yeah.
And we're going to play with this sort of like an electronic kind of vibe and a little bit of bass line and that's not a new thing, and it doesn't feel like groundbreaking because it isn't, but it's at least unique and it holds his vision, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, his style all the way through. And it's an excellent puttering around album.
Yeah.
Like doing other things while this is playing, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't blow my mind, but
I'm
going to listen to it again.
There were elements, And there were songs where I was like, this is a really cool idea.
Yeah. I really like the production and the...
The production's fantastic. And there are some... like, I was getting to a point where I was like... fuck, do I like this? The first song, I was like, oh, fuck this. I hate this. This is stupid.
Yeah, the first song's very like, I really like the record as a whole.
I like the first song.
I like the first song a lot, but well, I can understand because it is very much here's like one kind of percussive melodic instrument that I'm kind of just going to like be very repetitive and then build and recede on that. And I love that, but I feel like that's maybe something that has been harder for you. I remember when we listened.
No, well, it was just because I really didn't. I was really expecting to hate this.
Yeah.
So I listened to the first song. I'm like, whatever. Fuck this. Yeah. This is fucking stupid. And then the second song, I was like, okay, well, I actually see what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a real progression for somebody who hates or who's expecting to hate this
album. Yeah.
And then by Pacifist Manifesto, which, by the way, I hate that I like a song called Pacifist Manifesto. Like, holy shit, this song slaps hard.
Yeah.
And I was so into it. And then Please Go Away, I'm like, holy shit, I really like this.
Yeah.
Am I going to have to tell Dan I like this?
Yeah.
And then that You Lighten Me Up, I was like, this I like this a little bit less, but it's still nice.
Yeah.
It's like a nice little song kind of thing. And then I can't remember if it's Keep 'Em Out or Your Imperfections. That's like that kind of xylophony fucking nonsense. And I hated that. And I'm like, okay, good. I'm back on solid ground. I hate it. But then in going back on it, I'm like, nah, this is a solid record.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It is.
He put another record out a year or two ago in 2015. Called How You Look When You're Falling Down, and it leans further into the electronic stuff. I would definitely be interested in what you would think of that. It's definitely poppier. There's some really catchy stuff on it.
I actually will check that out. It didn't
hook me as hard as Antibodies did that year, but it's also one that when I go back to it, I'm like, oh, that was an interesting progression from Antibodies. It's like, yeah. And he's got a couple of songs on some of his earlier stuff that are good, but Antibodies was when it was like, oh, here's the album. Like, the other ones are like, here's some folky songs, and then here's some, like, weird instrument songs. But Antibodies was like, oh, now it's this is the album. This is what he's trying to do. Yeah, and I like it.
Yeah, I was really surprised, but I really dug this.
Awesome. So check it out. Let us know what you think.
Yep.
You guys are gonna hate me.
Okay.
So, we've had a few classic enemies of the show in terms of music.
Yep.
You know, we ripped on the asshole himself, Gene Simmons, a lot.
Yeah.
The Kinsella brothers. I'm trying to think who else. We've had some returning favorites. So I've given you guys a lot of records that had a lot of bands on it, and there was some reoccurring stuff going on there. And wouldn't you know, there's a brand new Real Big Fish album.
Oh, my God.
Awesome. Yeah. I hope they still sound exactly like
they used to.
Nice. You know what? Good for them for not changing up a style nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. Yeah, so
Life Sucks, Let's Dance.
Life Sucks, Let's Dance.
Okay.
Friend of the show, Richard, loves this record, and that makes me happy.
Awesome.
But yeah, their first in 6 years. I started to listen to it because I used to like some of this kind of ska stuff and some of the earlier songs by them. I don't mind, but I was just like, oh, this again, eh? Goodbye. So not for me, but maybe it'll be for you.
Maybe for us.
I bet it will.
Yeah. I'm going to feel like such a piece of shit driving down the highway listening to this.
It's going to be really hard for me to drive and skank at the same time.
How you get up? Pick it up.
Yeah, wear two fedoras.
Yeah. I love it.
Fun.
I love it. I will listen to some of this as well because I have to see too.
Yeah. I've been really getting into music again lately, which is really cool.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Yeah,
you were listening to The Shame album.
Yeah, that's a great record.
Yeah, that really good album. Dope. Holy shit, I didn't know anything. I didn't know Mitski existed.
Yeah, great.
And
that's
now
great
I
too.
Fucking do.
Yeah,
do you know
awesome.
Her album Be the Cowboy from I think from last year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus fuck.
Yeah. Very
what
good.
A fucking so good. Album. Boy, she likes the Pixies.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. Yeah, 2018 was a great year.
Definitely.
A lot of good music.
Yeah.
Awesome. So next week, we got to roll.
Yeah.
This week, too.
And we have to roll this week, too. Yeah, what are we rolling for?
Well, let me tell you something. There's nothing good in the theaters.
Okay. All
right.
It's a probably winner's choice. We can catch up on Oscar stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was looking at we're at the Oscars.
Yeah.
It's the end of the year. We're going to celebrate the greatest stuff. And I was like, what was the worst movie of 2018? I Googled. And I looked at a couple of lists. What keeps coming up extremely high is the Travolta Gotti project.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I heard a podcast on it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What do you think of that?
I'm into it.
I think it sounds great.
It's been a running joke with me and some friends, just the ridiculousness of it. But we started just saying Gotti instead of words. So like, you Gotti. you gotta see that movie. And... but none of us have watched it yet.
Right. Well, we just think it's a hilarious joke.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? Is that good enough?
I'll do it.
I don't know what else.
Should
is
we
bad
force the person
there
to do a double feature with that Speed Kills one as well? Have you seen the stuff about
what's
that?
What's this? Sorry.
Look up Speed Kills.
Okay.
I believe that is the name of it. It's like a movie that he was in more recently.
Oh, you know what? I saw the first like 10 minutes of this.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Let's double feature because this is.
Double punishment.
This is very, very
double
bad.
Down on the Travolts.
And another, he's playing another real person in this
one. The double feature. Mm-hmm. Look, he's got a real good hairpiece in that one.
Yeah, it's a remarkable
one. It looks terrible.
Okay, great.
Speed Kills and Gotti.
Mm-hmm.
You Gotti do it.
Okay.
All right, let's roll. That's a 9.
Oh, that's a solid 9.
Six. That's an 8.
Is it?
That's an 8.
8.
That's an 8.
Oh.
You two.
Oh,
I'm out. And you know what? I'm out, but I'll watch Gotti anyway. with the loser, I'll watch Gotti. I got to see it. Anyway. I got to see it. That's a 3.
Oh, that's a 3.
That is low.
That is low.
That's a 5.
Lower than a 5.
That's a 5. Casey's right. Doubling down on Travolta.
This is actually great, guys, because the one thing I have right now a lot of is
time to watch
a fuckload of shithole movies.
Yeah.
So
feel free to piecemeal it out if you want.
Guys.
It's 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there.
Yeah.
They're both freely available to rent.
The guy there's
to rent. Yeah. I'm not gonna steal these movies off the internet, I'll tell you that.
The first 5 minutes of what's it called? Speed Kills. That's a good time.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
All right. Well, I'm excited about that one.
All right. Well, next week.
You know who looks like shit? Tom Sizemore.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, man.
Tom Sizemore, but he's led such a healthy life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A healthy, well-balanced life.
Yeah. What could where did he go wrong?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Next week, Casey will tell us all about 2 Travolta movies and the Real Big Fish record that he had to listen to.
Yep. Going to be a solid week for this guy.
Ringing in the new year with style. And Greg and I will watch whatever
really
we want.
I've been really getting into listening to music again lately. So,
here are some fucking
that. Fucking put an end to that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. You can email us at info@modernsuperior.com. Mm-hmm. You can rate and review us on iTunes. SYNWPC. Is where you can find us on Facebook and Twitter.
And Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Twitter.
So, as always, we will see you on a Wednesday. Usually. And goodbye, internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brian!
Brian!
Fuck!
Hi, Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.